This podcast was recorded Thursday, July 22nd at 10:36 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this.
Yeah, like we'll have a state fair where people can attend. What's a fair without people anyway? What's the point?
I know. It's a letdown.
Let's talk politics.
This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those Snollygosters who shrewdly take most of the summer off. You know, it's hard work, all that Snollygostering. I'm Mike Thompson.
And I'm Steve Brown. That decision to keep spectators away from the Ohio State Fair actually seems pretty prudent now. It seemed strange a few weeks ago, but could be a smart thing to do right now.
Yes, indeed. Coming up in the podcast, First Energy pays a massive fine in the nuclear bailout scandal, but first, we are starting to hear talk of the M words again, mask mandates.
Yeah, that's right. Back to why that might be smart to have an unpopulated state fair right now. The Delta variant of COVID-19 spreading rapidly across the country and across Ohio. 83% of new COVID cases are now linked to the Delta variant. It's far more contagious than the original coronavirus. And with the variant comes that sharp increase in cases.
Here in Ohio, we've seen a 135% increase in daily COVID cases. Ohio is seeing about 750 new cases a day. That's more than double our recent average. The hospitalization rate has also doubled.
Putting those numbers into context, they are way below what we were seeing during the peak last winter and well below previous surges we've seen. But here's the scary part. Ohio's current rate of new cases, not that far behind where we were last summer when no vaccines were on the market.
That is a troubling stat. If you look at that graph, the Ohio Department of Health's medical director, Dr. Bruce Vanderhoff, now says it's not a matter of if, but when unvaccinated people get COVID.
It's now a choice between vaccination or running the risks of COVID-19 infection, because you're going to get it.
Officials are now looking to the fall as well, when we start going back inside, when kids get back into classrooms. The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends school kids wear masks, vaccinated or not. The CDC has not gone quite that far. In Cleveland, school kids will have to mask up for at least the first 5 weeks of the school year. Other school districts around the state, including Columbus City Schools, waiting to see what happens, and they will follow the advice of local officials.
Meanwhile, there is a move at the State House to ban public school mask mandates. State Rep. Andrew Brenner of suburban Columbus has introduced a bill which would prohibit public schools and public universities from making students or employees wear face coverings.
What a roller coaster this is. I mean, just a couple months ago, we were trying to be conservative and say, let's not declare victory yet. But we were nearly declaring victory. We had talked extensively about how the pandemic was receding, about how cases in some instances had dropped below 100 per day. Now we're above 700 per day. And it's crazy. I mean, that's since May, since Memorial Day,
yeah,
we've gone down that far, and now we're back up that far again. We're right about where we were around Memorial Day right now.
It's simple. People are getting together, and people are not wearing masks. Mm-hmm. So the spread is up, especially among folks who do not have the vaccine. We're hearing, they call them breakthrough cases, where folks who have gotten both doses or full doses of the vaccine get the virus. The symptoms are relatively minor. So it's not a guarantee you're not going to get COVID, but the evidence has shown that if you're vaccinated, you are not going to get very sick. You're very likely not going to be hospitalized, and
yeah,
even less likely that you're going to die, and you're less likely to spread the disease to others. So Ohio is still at 49% of our population has gotten one shot. This is total population. 46% of Ohioans are fully vaccinated. That is below the national average, where we rank behind Pennsylvania. We're behind Kentucky and Michigan. But we're ahead of Indiana and West Virginia when you compare vaccination rates. But we have been stuck at 46, 47, 48% for weeks now. It's not going anywhere.
No, it is. The numbers are a little better when you talk about like senior citizens. They're, a larger percentage of them are vaccinated. But 0% of 1 to 12-year-olds are vaccinated at this point in Ohio. And This really is, you know, what officials have called at this point a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Like you said, you can get one of those breakthrough cases, but something like 99.9% of people hospitalized with COVID have not been vaccinated. And so you might get COVID and you might have a little bit of a cough. You might even want to go to the doctor, but hospitalizations of vaccinated people are extremely rare.
Now what do we do? I mean, if you look at that graph, like we mentioned it towards the top, you know, you look at last summer, the daily case rate, and we're right at that point. And what happens at the end of the summer and the fall? We all go back inside. Last year, we all went back inside, but we were wearing masks. We weren't vaccinated, but we were wearing masks. What do we do this fall when it gets colder, when we start sending kids back to school? I think schools are going to have mask mandates. I really do. Turn around, I think the CDC has not come out saying mask mandates. Joe Biden was in Cincinnati at a CNN town hall on Wednesday night, and he kind of hinted that they're looking at mask mandates. He didn't say they were coming, but they're watching it closely. Health experts are watching it closely. Not mask mandates, mask recommendations.
The CDC recommends masks now among kids who are unvaccinated, which is all
unvaccinated,
all young kids should wear masks. Yeah. That's what the CDC recommends.
Yeah. So do schools follow through with that? I think politically, what's going to happen is the schools where you have high rates of vaccination are going to mandate the masks, and schools in the rural areas where you have low rates of vaccination are not going to mandate the masks. So what's the point?
It's an unsolvable paradox. Cleveland has the mask mandate, obviously a very heavily Democratic area.
Yeah.
You're going to have higher rates of vaccination there.
I can see Columbus and Cincinnati doing the same.
Yeah, my home district in Northern Union County, North Union Local Schools.
The view from Richmond.
I'd be shocked if we had a mask mandate in the fall, because we abandoned our mask mandate just before we were technically allowed by the state. And it happened anyway. And, you know, WOSU covered it that it was happening because my district was an outlier. But it's going to be the same way. And in Southeast Ohio, there are not going to be any local mask mandates. In Western Ohio, there are not going to be any mask mandates. It's not going to happen.
I can't see Governor DeWine, who is now approaching the Republican primary. We're less than a year away.
Right.
I don't see him reimposing the mask mandate. Maybe if we get above that, you know, that, what was it, the 50 cases per 100,000? Was that the threshold?
That was the benchmark, yeah,
that we kind of ignored. And we're below that. I still think we're below that right now. But
we can't be much below that.
No, right around that point, I don't see him imposing a mask mandate. He'll leave it up to local communities, unless it gets really bad.
What about the 2 p.m. wine with DeWine? Will that return?
I don't think so. I think unless it gets bad. I think right now
maybe it's a weekly version.
Yeah. I mean, Dr. Vanderhoff has been doing a weekly update now, so he's leaving it. The governor's administration is leaving it up to the health experts, which is
politically smart.
Yeah, it's also where we are right now. We are relatively back to normal. We don't see masks in the grocery store. We're going to the movies. We're going to sporting events. We're going to concerts and shows and movie theaters and getting together with friends, especially if you're vaccinated. It's just
I just wonder at what point we get to herd immunity, because that was something we were sort of dreaming about last summer, right, before vaccinations even were on the market. We just it seemed pie in the sky, like it was going to be years away. At this point, you have 46% of people vaccinated in Ohio. Not ideal, but that's nearly half of the total population. And presumably, as eligibility grows, more people are going to become vaccinated. More people are getting COVID, obviously, on a daily basis. At what point will this pandemic not be as scary simply because most people have antibodies?
Yeah, we don't know. I mean, the experts early on were saying if we could get to 70 to 80% of the adult population vaccinated, we would reach herd immunity. But then the variants come in and they're more contagious. Mm-hmm. And we don't know exactly how they work with the vaccine, how they spread among children. Do children pass the virus on to their unvaccinated parents or teachers? We just really don't know. That's the argument that folks who are against mandatory vaccines, against the mask mandate, say, look, you can't just look at the folks who have been vaccinated. You have to look at the folks who have had COVID and put those folks in there as possibly immune. I don't think we have enough information of exactly how immune you are to a future infection if you've had COVID.
And some people have had it twice.
Yeah.
Tina Maharoth, the state senator.
Yeah. I mean, the variants. We still don't know what we don't know about this. We know a lot more than we did, you know, a year and a half ago.
We do know that the Vax-a-Million sweepstakes did not do all that much as far as encouraging people to get vaccinated. At least that's according to a Boston University study that state officials have taken some umbrage with. But it does seem that locally here in Columbus, the Vax Cash initiative was effective.
$100. Columbus Public Health giving out $100 gift cards to people who get vaccines at certain clinics. Officials say in the first week, vaccinations nearly tripled compared to the week before. In the second week, vaccinations were still up, but not by nearly as much. So at least initially, similar to Vax-a-Million, the first week of Vax-a-Million, we jumped up in vaccines. So people raced out to get these gift cards and got the shots.
So yeah, the New York Times suggests paying the unvaccinated $1,000 to get both vaxes by Halloween, both doses by Halloween.
Yeah, a columnist in the Times suggested that. He said that would be a rounding error in President Biden's, you know, multi-trillion dollar stimulus package or infrastructure plan. You know, if that's what it takes to get things back to normal, keep everybody safe.
At this point, we've seen crazier things. Either way, we'll be right back.
In WOSU Public Media's new podcast, Small Joys, explore the little things that inspire us in our daily lives. I'm Hanif Abdurraqib. Join me for a series of conversations with artists and writers. Find new episodes of Small Joys every Tuesday. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media. We got some big news Thursday in the years-long saga that is Ohio's nuclear bailout.
Yes, just about 1 year to the day. I think it was a year and one day. After Larry Householder was arrested by federal authorities. First Energy, the company long thought to be at the center of the federal investigation into the law, will pay a $230 million fine for bribing former House Speaker Larry Householder and former Public Utilities Commission Chair Sam Randazzo.
Yeah, the company admitted that it, quote, conspired with public officials and other individuals and entities. That's according to a press release from federal prosecutors. As Mike says, that comes a year and a day after Householder and four others were arrested in connection with the effort to pass the law that gave massive subsidies to First Energy's two nuclear power plants and the campaign to stop a repeal of the law.
Two of Householder's alleged accomplices have pleaded guilty in this case. A third, Neil Clark, took his own life in Florida earlier this year. Householder himself and another alleged accomplice, former GOP chair Matt Borges, vigorously maintain their innocence.
We're nearing the end. I can't believe we're saying it. We're near. You don't think so? What, do you think there's more to come? You think there's more behind the curtain?
Federal prosecutions take a long time. But this is a big one.
This is a big shoe that just dropped.
I mean, they're paying that big fine. They've admitted that they, you know, use money to gain favor with public officials. Mm-hmm. More importantly, the plea agreement or the agreement they've reached with prosecutors says they will cooperate fully with the investigation. They apparently have been cooperating and they agreed to cooperate fully going forward. So that's bad news for Larry Householder and Matt Borges, who are still out there. They've been charged. I assume it's probably bad news for Sam Randazzo, who has not been charged, but the FBI raided his home in Columbus. So I don't think this is another step, but I think at least a year before this is resolved or goes to trial.
You know what sucks is that we're saying First Energy and we're saying they, instead of saying the names of executives and the names of actual people who perpetrated this, because First Energy is just a corporation, right? Yeah. I mean, it's not a person. It's nobody. But there are real minds and real hearts who perpetrated this scheme.
Yeah, and they still could be prosecuted at some point. I mean, they've lost their jobs. And that was also part of the agreement, is the company would discipline those who were involved. Yeah. If you're going to bribe someone, you need to. Someone has to be bribed, and there has to be a briber. There has to be a bribee and a briber.
Yeah,
now only the bribees, alleged bribees, have been charged. The bribers, the company now is paying a fine.
Yeah,
but the bribers, the people who, like you said, who actually, you know, authorize the check, authorize the payment.
It's good to
not been charged yet.
It's good to be rich.
Yes.
It's good to have a lot of money where you can pay a $230 million fine.
Yeah, I wonder how much. Well, for a huge utility like that, it's probably not that big a deal. But
you ever seen the Dave Chappelle skit where they reverse roles between a person convicted of dealing drugs and a corporate CEO who gets in trouble? And they go to the drug dealer and kindly ask him to turn himself in so he can have a few days to get his affairs in order. And then they kick in the door of the CEO and shoot his dog and arrest him in front of his family. It makes me it makes me mad to see stuff like this. And it makes me think of that Chappelle skit of what could happen if we treated everybody equally.
It is amazing how CEOs who are convicted of stealing millions, tens of millions of dollars, often have months before they get sentenced, and then they have a couple more months, as you said, to get their affairs in order. Where if you stole, you know, $1,000 from a carryout, you're in jail, you know, waiting trial for a year.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to let you get your affairs in order.
No. But, you know, a thing to watch, Sam Randazzo, this officially links him to the case.
Yeah.
And, you know, who appointed Sam Randazzo, and that's Mike DeWine. So this, you know, darkens that line. If it was a dotted line, it's probably still dotted, but it's a darker dot now between Mike DeWine and this scandal. Mike DeWine says he knew nothing about this. He said Sam Randazzo was a good man, and he appointed him because he knew what he was doing as far as the utility commission goes. But there's been no implication that Mike DeWine was involved in this, but that link gets a little bit stronger with this case.
Speaking of Mike DeWine, moving on to our Snollygoster of the Week award. Mike DeWine took a hard line on vaccine mandates for schools. He let stand a budget provision that bans vaccine mandates at public schools and universities. For some reason, right, he's speaking out both sides of his mouth, it seems. But the law does not go into effect until after school starts, so schools could still mandate vaccines to start the year, and the law becomes meaningless if the FDA gives permanent non-emergency approval to all the vaccines currently in use, something that could come before school starts.
Yeah, Joe Biden hinted that at that meeting in Cincinnati on Wednesday that the FDA approval was coming soon. So basically, there's one public university in Ohio that is mandating vaccines, it's Cleveland State. They say they're going to keep the mandate because they can, because the law has not taken effect.
Doesn't go into effect until October.
So when students and teachers and staff, professors and staff get back on campus, they'll have to get the vaccine. And it could be all moot if it's made official by the FDA. So for taking a tough stand against forced vaccines, which is good news for the Republican base, but he also will allow schools to mandate the shots. It's a pretty shrewd political move. Mike DeWine is our Snollygoster of the Week.
Could have gone to Cleveland State as well. Pretty shrewd.
Yeah.
Pretty savvy.
But they had their mandate. Their mandate has been in place
for
quite a
while. No, I know. But for them, they're obviously working around the edges here, and they're letting this mandate stay in place.
Yeah. You know, OSU is not mandating vaccines, but they're giving incentives. We are proud employees of the Ohio State University.
We are. So we could
win.
Full disclosure.
We could win gift cards, free parking, football tickets.
Free parking. Come on.
No, that's one of the prizes.
Well,
if you're vaccinated,
I'm not going to win.
You got to go into that portal and tell them you're vaccinated.
Don't get me started on freaking parking here at Ohio State.
All right.
Either way, that will do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster. If you have a suggestion for next week's Snollygoster of the Week, you can send it to snollygoster@wosu.org. And as always, be sure to leave us a good review on iTunes and tell your friends about us. Until next week, for our audio producer, Eric French, I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.